A lot going on in the world of Strata.
There always is.
Always is. We get to the point where we think, what are we going to talk about? And then we realise we probably don't have enough time to talk about all the things. What we are going to talk about this morning is an apartment block in Wollongong that apparently, according to a report in the Daily Telegraph, is the worst that David Chandler has ever seen.
Ooh, it must be bad.
Must be very bad. We're going to talk about a plan for the New South Wales government talking about making the whole of the inner west of Sydney, rezoning it so that they can have medium rise buildings, low to medium rise buildings there. The Greens have got a policy now. They want the federal government to build 360,000 new low-cost homes. And there's a poll. Our poll has come up with an interesting, look, it's not very scientific, but what people would most like to have in their buildings.
That'd be nice to find out.
Yeah. All right. I'm Jimmy Thompson. I write the Flat Chat column for the Australian Financial Review.
And I'm Sue Williams, and I write about property for the Sydney Morning Herald, The Age, The AFR and Domain.
And this is the Flat Chat Wrap. That was a very interesting report in the Daily Telegraph last week about the building in Wollongong.
Yeah, do we know much about it?
Well, one thing we don't know is who the developer is. Because the whole report went through about how David Chandler, the building commissioner, had said this was the worst or one of the worst he'd ever seen. And I think there was a stop work order put on the building, and people who were already living there were told they might have to move out. I don't know if anybody's actually, I don't know if it's complete. The report was a bit odd in that respect, but it normally, David Chandler has done very well in his campaign of naming and shaming.
He doesn't hold back from naming buildings.
No, and that terrifies developers. But maybe he's moved to a new policy of bearing and scaring.
Well, maybe he's giving them a chance to get things right, because I guess, you know, when a building is publicly named and shamed, it is really hard for all the people who've bought in there off the plan.
Yeah, they're the ones suddenly, they suffer.
It gets a really rotten reputation. So maybe he's becoming a bit more gentle and saying, well, if these developers can sort this building out, I won't name you until I'm... actually making a big effort until it's okay again. Which would be fair enough.
Yeah. How hard would it have been for the journalists to have found out? We could have found out who the developers were, with a couple of phone calls, probably. You wonder, just a very curious thing that it's like one of the most significant pieces of information in the thing. But you're right, you know, you criticize one building by one developer and like everybody else who owns in an apartment built by that developer suddenly goes, yeah, well, there's $50,000 off the value of my property.
Yeah, that's right. So maybe it's only fair. And I mean, you know, he's still got that scare tactic. He can still say to them, look, I will name you unless you actually act on this and you
yeah, we don't know that he said that though.
No, of course.
We think he might have possibly.
But what could be wrong with this building that would be the worst building? You know, because there have been some incredibly terrible buildings.
Shockers. I mean, you're talking about the guy who just negotiated a deal for Mascot Towers. I mean, is it worse than that? From what I could see from that story, it was a case of cabling that had been embedded into the concrete, which is normal. But it sounded like some part of that process had weakened the concrete. But you imagine the structure of this building has got all this through it, and if it's starting to, I mean, it's equivalent to concrete cancer.
Yeah.
So it could be quite serious. Anyway, big picture of the building. And I'm sure the people who have bought in there off the plan would really, really like us to stop identifying it.
Well, I guess, you know, the developers who have been working in Sydney kind of know what the game is now.
Yeah.
And they know that they have to perform to a certain standard. But maybe, you know, out in other areas of New South Wales, they really haven't had the oversight yet. And now this is maybe an indication that, you know, everybody, any developers developing anything in New South Wales has to perform to a certain standard.
Well, we found that to some extent. Her investment property, which is out of the city, in the regions, you know, dealing with the strata managers there, they just have, it's a different world. Like they expected to come to our first AGM and say, all right, nice to meet you. We'll take it from here.
Kind of thing. Sure.
And, you know, there's nothing sinister about that. It's just the way they work. But when they get city folks coming along and saying, no, I'd actually quite like to have a committee that actually tells you what to do rather than you telling us what to do, it's like, oh, my God, this is the world is turned upside down.
And it'll probably continue to be like that as long as Sydney Siders keep going and buying property in the regions, or even Melburnians go and buy in country Victoria. It's going to be the same as well. Hopefully standards will rise everywhere.
Yeah. And there is a story in the Flat Chat website this week about the government has extended the period for trainee real estate and strata managers to get their qualifications, because apparently 4 years ago they said they set a rule that everybody who worked in real estate or in strata management, which is what concerns us a bit more, had to be certified by the end of March 2024. Well, guess where we are? We're at the beginning of March 2024. Mm. So they've got 3 months to get their certification, and then along with that comes a commitment to increasing or extending their training. So they've got I think another year to get all their training underway or completed. So this is part of the thing of making strata management more professional rather than just a cash cow for people who.
Which is good news for all of us, really.
I think so, yeah. Mm. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about a new plan for housing in Sydney and the rest of Australia. That's after this. Front page of the Sydney Morning Herald this morning. Apparently, the inner west of Sydney is now going to be rezoned so that they can build six-story medium-rise apartment blocks, which has caused, you'll be surprised to hear, a little bit of controversy.
Ironic. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, this is a plan that the government keeps talking about allowing medium density everywhere, really, because we need more homes and we don't have much more land, really.
The interesting thing about the inner west is, as it's evolved, and you're talking about places like Newtown, Marrickville,
Erskineville,
Annandale, all those places, they've evolved. Somebody explained it to me. You can actually see it's almost like a ripple out from the centre. You know, that when Sydney was occupied by the rich bosses, then the next suburb out was where the workers lived. So that's why you've got a lot of little workers' cottages in Newtown. And then the rich bosses moved a little bit further out, which is why you've got those great big houses in Annandale. Mm. And then you go a little bit further out and you're back into the workers' cottages again. So you can see it's like the rings on a tree stump. So what has effectively happened in there is that in those inner west areas, there are a lot of old factories and warehouses.
Because some of those areas were settled very, very early.
Yeah.
Like you look at Camperdown, and that was a grant given to the Blys. And they, you know, William Bly and his daughter Mary Bly.
All right.
And they named it Camperdown after one of his famous victories at the Battle of Camperdown.
All right. Okay. All right.
So those areas were settled very, very early. And so some of those big houses still remain, but some of them obviously crumbled and then were replaced by factories.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of those factories are now crumbled, and maybe even some of the buildings have been converted to apartments, but I'm sure there are quite a few where you could say, you know, we could knock this down and put up a really nice little apartment block here. Mm. Now, of course, you've got the various mayors of inner west local government areas saying, we're going to have you know, medium-rise buildings marching down our streets. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be all, every building in the street is going to be a medium-rise block. I mean, it's nonsense, just nonsense.
Mm. And I guess they kind of have to say that, really, because they know the population are going to be saying, oh, not in our suburb, we don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of courting popularity as well by doing that. And so maybe it's good that the government would come in over them and say, no, we are definitely doing this.
But, you know, you say...
It kind of absolves them from responsibility, really.
In fact, it's just a discussion paper. So you were saying they've been talking about this for years. Mm. Well, they're talking about it again. This is the big news.
I think there's more urgency about it now because of the housing crisis, you know, and maybe now they really, really need to do something about it.
Yeah. And I, as we've often said, rather than going, no, you can't do it here, local council should be saying, well, let's decide on what these buildings should look like. In fact, there was a story we had last year about a pattern book that was being evolved.
And yeah, a series of templates for good apartment buildings and a competition between architects to do that, yeah.
Yeah, so these local councils should be saying, yeah, look, actually...
This is a chance to get some really high-quality buildings.
Yep.
And especially, you know, one of the biggest trends at the moment is older people now trying to downsize into apartments.
Yeah.
And they want to downsize into good apartments. And they want to go to the areas where they've lived all their lives.
Yes. You know,
they might have had a big family house in Annandale, and they want to go to a nice apartment building in Annandale.
Yeah.
So they're near
their
friends. Because
that's where their social connection. Yeah.
Yeah, they still want to go to the same cafes and go to the same gyms and stuff. So we really do need these places. And when they're built, people do buy them usually very, very quickly.
Mm.
So there is a need there.
And you can build quality because these people are selling houses that and walking away with, you know, an extra spare $1 million in their back pocket after they bought the apartment. So they can build quality and expect people to pay for it.
Yeah, and they have access to really top architects now if this pattern book idea comes out.
I wonder what happened to that.
Yeah, we should check that out.
We should ask somebody. Moving on to the federal stage, the Greens have apparently announced this morning that they want the federal government to build, I think, 360,000 new homes.
Wow.
Sounds like a good idea. They're saying build, if the government is the developer, you can take the profit margin out, or take the price down, so it will instantly make them more affordable and probably drive down prices in other properties as well.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Why do you think I'm going to put I'm going to nail my colours to the mast here and say this will never fly?
Because the government is just not equipped to develop homes, really.
Right.
They don't have the they don't have the profit motivation.
Okay.
They don't have the expertise.
Okay.
Maybe it's something that's better done in the free market, but oversight, definite oversight by people, you know.
But the free market is better is profit driven.
Yes, but if
so, if you take the profit margin out, then the free market is not going to get involved. So we're back to. I mean, I think if this ever had any chance of getting up, it would be the government would set up an agency, the Australian Federal Housing Development Agency, if that doesn't already exist. And that agency would say, okay, we are going to identify the sites, we're going to build the properties. I mean, I think they're doing it in Victoria already, aren't they? Haven't they identified sites near hospitals and things like that where they can build low-cost housing?
Mm.
So the government creates an agency. The agency then becomes the developer. The agency hires people from the private sector. Seems to be quite a lot of large building firms going bust, so I'm guessing there is some skills that may be lost if they are allowed to go to the wall completely. So there's a skill set out there.
Yeah, well, the government does do that to some extent in New South Wales. They partner with private developers to develop things, like at Green Square. I mean, that's always been done in a New South Wales government-private partnership, really.
Right.
So that does happen, but I guess the form of this housing is going to take is another big issue. Like, should it be apartment buildings just for social and affordable housing, Or should it be mixed apartment buildings, like private apartment buildings, but with, you know, a few floors or a certain number of apartments in each one, which are set aside for social and affordable housing?
What the Greens policy seems to be is to build homes that are available for rent and sale.
Mm.
So that immediately gives you a mix.
Mm.
And it could be that you, as happened in the UK all those years ago under Margaret Thatcher, all the council housing, she announced that you could go to your council and say, how much do you want for the flat that I'm already renting?
Yeah.
So it could work on that kind of system. My issue with this is it just feels like there'd be paper shufflers and carpet strollers flocking to these projects, and millions, billions of dollars would be spent, and you'd end up with one house and a lean-to.
So it would give a lot more people jobs, but...
Well, it's a good idea, and it's a shame that it's the Greens that have come up with it, not because there's anything wrong with the Greens, but because they are not one of the two main parties. But maybe if the Greens, if the Labour government needed more from the Greens, then they could do a deal with them to at least get the ball rolling on this. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, I guess everyone's saying we need more housing, and the government is saying we need more, and they're going to try and they're saying, you know, we're going to build, you know, 300,000. But nobody's come up with any definite positions of how to do this.
No.
So I mean, it's good that we're still talking about it, because it could so easily be brushed under the carpet.
Yeah.
You know, just even where we live, there's a lot more people living on the streets.
Yeah.
Every time I go to Central Station, there's a lot more people sleeping there.
Yeah.
There's a lot more rough sleepers around, it seems.
Yeah.
And it's just terrible. If you don't have a home to live in, you don't have anything. It's really hard to get a job.
Yeah, that's right.
It's hard to claim Social Security because you don't have an address. And life is just a constant battle. So we just really – and that's going to have a huge cost to society generally in the future in terms of mental health issues and physical health issues as well.
Yep.
You know, people living on the streets don't eat properly. It's hard for them to prepare meals. Mm. So, yeah, this is an urgent need, you know, and it's – so much of it is hidden away. You know, it's couch surfing, people sleeping at friends' places, young people moving back in with their parents.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for the parents, and it's hard for the young people as well.
I think it's this point you just feel like saying to the governments, stop talking and do something.
Mm.
Just, it doesn't matter what you do, just do something.
Mm. Yeah.
But we're not going to stop talking, because when we come back, we're going to talk about what you would like the shops in your building to be, because we talked about this last week, and we've run a poll, a very unscientific poll, on the Flat Chat website. And we'll talk about the results after this. We put a poll on the website last week, just a bit of a fun thing about what kind of shops would you like in your apartment block. Now, I have to say, it has not been overwhelmed by responses.
Oh.
There's been a few. Mm. A few people have come in, and it's still open if you want to stick your vote in there. So of all the things, the shops and services and things like that, that we could have in our building, what one do you think? Now, I remember asking you this week, which one would you really like in your in our building, or if we had shops in our building? And you said newsagent.
Mm.
So what do you think? It wasn't newsagent that's number one. What do you think was number one by Flat Chat readers?
A coffee shop. Cafe.
Close. The number one choice was a bakery.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I wondered about that. I think, oh, yeah, it would be nice to wake up to the smell of freshly baked bread.
Ooh.
It wouldn't do much for our waistlines.
No. But, yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I guess it's a bit old-fashioned, really. You know, every single town in the outback, they might have two shops, and one will always be a bakery.
Yeah.
And bakeries, you know, people go there and buy coffee, they buy cakes,
sandwiches,
they buy bread,
stuff. Yeah.
Everything. It's kind of real life-giving kind of place. So that's interesting. And bakeries are much more popular now, because now we seem to have so many more sort of specialist bakeries that kind of do, you know, fabulous different types of sourdough and, you know, all this kind of stuff.
One of the other things that's happened it seems to me, is that a lot of places, that a lot of small bakeries have their own ovens.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, you're quite surprised. You're like, it might be just a little bakery in a shopping center. But rather than getting all their stuff delivered from a central bakery, they've got ovens there, and I think they get the dough delivered.
Oh, is that what happens?
Yeah. Okay. So they don't have the big mixing machines, and they don't have bakers out the back all covered in white flour and kneading away at dough. But the dough arrives chilled, and they stick it in the oven, and the bread comes out really fresh, and you can smell it.
Wow. Because I think that's what they do at supermarkets as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Freshly baked bread. So it works for everybody, except people who are gluten-free. No, I think it's I think it's a nice idea. So it's bakery is number one. Mm. A news agent.
Great. So that was number two.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Good old news agents, even though most people go to them for the lotto now, don't they?
Yeah, really? Yeah.
But that's great that news agents are still quite popular.
A cafe.
Yes.
And a general grocer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the good choices.
Yeah.
So you can go downstairs, you can have a donut, you can have a cup of coffee, you can do your shopping.
And then the man in the coffee shop will say, "Hi, did you buy that in the bakery next door? Because we sell those here."
That's great, isn't it? And they would all know your name.
They would.
Mm.
And
you could have an account there.
Yeah. Mm. Put it on the tab, you'd say. And before we go, a bit of a change to Great Escapes, which used to be Lock Up and Leave. I've done a piece about how to decode travel review sites like TripAdvisor.
So, yeah.
Because you look at TripAdvisor review of a hotel, and it might make the hotel sound like it's really terrible.
Mm.
But it could be that the person writing the review is really terrible. So there'll be a link to that on the Flatchat website.
Great. And you had a story in the Melbourne Age last weekend, didn't you, about walking in
Northern Provence.
Okay. Are you going to put that on the website too?
I should wait until the Sydney Morning Herald has put it on their website.
Oh, okay.
Which is next week.
Right.
But, you know, once it's had a run there, I'll put it on Mild Rover, our travel website.
Okay, great.
And we're discovering interesting things, like people who read Mild Rover like to go to hotels in Australia. They're always looking for a deal, always looking for a special deal, like half-price weekends and things like that. And they also like to go on cruises. So if you're thinking of doing either of those things, head off to mildrober.com.
Okay, great.
We're done. We're good. We're out. We're going to go to the bakery now. We're going to get a donut. We're going to get a coffee, pick up a newspaper at a newsagent, and probably get something for dinner at the general grocers, none of which are in our building.
Shame.
Thanks again, Sue. And thank you all for listening to us on the podcast.
Fantastic. Have a good day, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Flat Chat Wrap podcast. You'll find links to the stories and other references on our website, flatchat.com.au. And if you haven't already done so, you can subscribe to this podcast completely free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Just search for Flat Chat Wrap with a W, click on subscribe, and you'll get this podcast every week without even trying. Thanks again. Talk to you again next week.